Development, and that, of course, is D.R. Tucker. He is always sending me the latest and greatest news on the Green Front, and that's the political, the scientific, the activist angles, and I think he's with us now to tell us what he thinks of this development. D.R.?
Yes, how are you doing?
Welcome back to the Green Front, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
We spoke at the end of last year, and I had to have you on today because this is really an important story. And for those of you who somehow don't know, you've not been listening very much because D.R. Tucker is semi-regular, sometimes even helps me co-host on the show. Very briefly, he was a conservative Republican who didn't believe climate change was a problem and didn't believe the science, and then actually read the science, in particular the IPCC report from 2007, and educated himself pretty quickly, and being a brilliant guy, quickly got that he had drunk the Kool-Aid and was so appalled and astonished that he's become super active in really calling out his fellow Republicans. This issue alone, I believe, moved you from conservative to moderate Republican, and even though we are political opposites, you and I, we certainly speak with one voice and agree on all things green, that there is a role for the government in fighting this huge, this great mother of all issues, a great exacerbator, climate change, and of course share our disgust with the Republican crop of presidential contenders who now none believe that climate change is real now that John Huntsman is out of the race. So wanted to have you on to comment on all of that, and also to chat a bit about Al Gore's comments last week. We'll get to that in just a minute.
Well, I believe I mentioned the last time I was on that there would be no political downside if Obama said no to the Keystone XL pipeline, and I think he realized that. It's a very brave decision on his part, knowing that a lot of the people in the conservative media would basically go, crazy over this decision, but it's a very bold and brave decision, and I think it signals that he will be mentioning climate change in the upcoming State of the Union address. There was a piece on climate progress a couple of days ago in which Brad Johnson, I believe, noted that there was a lot of pressure on Obama to sort of talk about climate change and the need to take action in the State of the Union address, and I think this definitely signals that he is going to make a bold statement when he does give that address.
Which would be about 180 degrees from last year, where he did not even mention the word climate in a State of the Union address, angering many who are deeply concerned about the state and fate of our climate.
I have to think that this has something to do with Bill Daley's decision to leave as a White House chief of staff. I imagine that what happened was that Daley probably caught wind of the fact that Obama was going to make this decision and decided to, take off. Remember, Daley was the guy who was supposedly instrumental in getting the Obama administration to back off of implementing tougher smog standards. And Daley is generally perceived by progressives to be something of a hack who will push for what is politically expedient over what is moral. So I'm guessing that there's a connection between this decision and Daley's decision to depart.
And you are a Republican, and what do you think, I've got to ask you, of John Huntsman leading the race? Not exactly surprising, but disappointing to those of us who hoped he would stay in there long enough at least to be singled out as the one who pretty much believes climate change is a real threat.
Well, it's a bitter disappointment, not just on the climate front, but on a general front of leadership. I did a piece for the Huffington Post the other day where I pointed out that, he was the last connection to that era of, civilized conservatism, and now there's no connection there at all. There was an interesting piece on Politico.com the other day about in moderate Republicans and environmentally concerned Republicans wondering what to do now. And I sent a note today to Juliette Elperin of the Washington Post saying that I hope that some of those moderate and climate-concerned Republicans will consider voting for Obama as a result of this bold decision, because there really is no other option. I mean, which Mitt Romney do you vote for? If the Mitt Romney that said that he would not allow coal jobs to kill people in Massachusetts was running, then, yeah, you could support that. But this Romney, I mean, is not the same as the Romney from 2003. I mean, it's you don't see that boldness there, that leadership there, not just on climate, but on anything about with regard to Romney or with the other Republican contenders. So,
and then there's Newt Gingrich, who is just ridiculous.
Newt Gingrich, fresh from having stabbed Catherine Hyo in the back, again, where is that leadership on anything? I mean, if you're a Republican and you're climate concerned, to me right now you have two options, either Obama or if there's a decent candidate out of Americans Elect. That's basically your only two options, because what the Republicans are offering is bitter, bitter fruit.
Isn't that disgusting, that clip? I'm sure you saw it, of Newt Gingrich being asked by a supporter, what about that part in your book about climate change, saying it's real? You're going to take that out, aren't you? And he whispers to his aide, yeah, take that out. You know, it's like, talk about flip-flop, talk about spineless, talk about, you know, how do you know climate change is a real threat and then unknow it? It's about the one issue that's pretty impossible to do, you know, authentically.
It is the disease of ambition.
Simple it is
that.
The disease ambition. Is that what you said?
The disease of ambition.
Yes, it is, and it's the opposite of authenticity. And they need to be called out on it. And now there are no Republican candidates for the White House who believe in our green issues, and shame on them for that. And I'm sure you agree. And you've even said you would at this point vote for Obama. Now that there is, would this be the first time you voted for a Democratic presidential contender?
Yes, yes. I voted for a Democratic congressman before. But this will be the first time I voted Democrat in the presidential election.
Well, speaking of presidential election, let's listen to this clip from the man who would have been president, almost was, and should have been, and would have probably left our environment in a lot better shape. Now he's a media mogul, Al Gore, and he, of course, owns Current TV. And DR and I are plotting, conspiring, lobbying to get the man who thinks climate change is the biggest issue of our time and lit the fire under all of us who agree with him, that we need to have more media coverage of climate change. So we're trying to get a show on Current TV. They're expanding their programming. Here's what he said, if we can get this clip from Al Gore from last week's primary coverage.
I think it's particularly interesting, the libertarian philosophy, when it comes again to the role of government, but particularly in the United States and our role in doing something about climate, which of course is an issue that's near and dear to your heart. If the Republican Party doesn't see that there is a role for the United States to be able to join with other countries in bringing down greenhouse gas emissions, then then what are we left with but the externalization of all of this pollution and greenhouse gases, which of course is a huge problem. I'd love for you to say a word about it.
Well, bless you, Governor, for bringing it up. During the break, I had said I want to find some way to talk about it, so thank you for giving me a chance. And I know that many of our listeners will think, well, wait a minute, what does that issue have to do with this presidential campaign? Well, that's exactly the point. It should be in the presidential campaign, and it is not at present. Not a single question was asked about climate in any of the numerous multitudinous debates that these candidates have had. And yet, in the year 2011, the United States of America had more than 12 climate-related disasters that cost over $1 billion. The state of Texas has had the worst drought in its history. It is climate-related. Out of 254 counties, 252 are on fire. The 2010 was the hottest year ever recorded. We have record melting of the volume of ice in the Arctic Ocean, dramatically powerful storms in Pakistan, Australia, the Northeast, record flooding in the Mississippi and the Missouri and the Surrey River, and the list goes on. And it's consistent with what the scientific community has been warning us. And I'll finish with this, because I know that it's outside the so-called Overton window, the so-called space that's considered legitimate for political discussion. But we as a free governing people, in the one nation with the best chance to lead the world, at a moment when the future of civilization is at risk, we have to find a way to not only talk about, but effectively deal with this issue. We're putting 90 million tons of extra global warming pollution into the atmosphere, every 24 hours, and we're making it much worse. We have to come to grips with this, and in the midst of all the discussion about political strategies and which candidate is up and which candidate is down, we have to push the agenda of real self-governance forward and grapple with the issues that matter the most.
So the Republicans...
Standing ovation for...
Now, but the Republicans, of course, aren't going to bring it up. Now, the establishment media is also not bringing it up. But do you think President Obama, in the general election, will make an issue out of it?
Well, I hope so. I really hope so. I was disappointed in John Huntsman for reversing his position when he was the only one of the Republicans that had it right. And I've expressed in the past some disappointment that President Obama has not done more on this issue. But he did pass, enact the regulation that cuts mercury from coal. It's a major step forward. He got the biggest increase in mileage standards for automobiles. And so I want to give credit where it's due. But the main part of this issue is not being addressed. And it must be addressed. And I hope that he will in the campaign this year.
Yeah, well, I share that hope, but I'm not sure I share the belief that he will do it. Right, and so we'll see how the general election plays out, and we'll see if they address it or run away from that issue as they have so far.
I think they'll address it.
All right.
And that is Cenk Uygar, if I pronounced his Turkish name correctly, and Governor Jennifer Granholm, of course, there on Current TV. That was last week during, I believe, the New Hampshire primary. And they are planning a new show called The War Room with Jennifer Granholm at the end of this month. And DR, you and I are plotting to have them take on a show called The Green Room,
exactly,
where you and I could talk about green issues from a red versus blue perspective.
Exactly.
And if they really want to bring in a wide audience and go beyond the usual screaming matches that you see elsewhere on political cable channels, I think they'd be wise to give us a shot, because we certainly are pushing the green agenda, in particular the climate change issue, forward, as Mr. Gore eloquently says we must do, the issue that matters most.
Two observations. Number one, listening to Gore, I realize I voted for the wrong guy in 2000. And
were the one. It would have made all the difference.
I know. Mea culpa.
You and my cousin, my sister-in-law in Florida, she got the climate change is real after they had a 10-day hurricane there, and the power was out for 10 days. She realized that, oh, my gosh, if this is what I've been doubting, climate change, I think I'd better start becoming a believer. And she's a Republican, but on that issue alone, I think she might have been swayed.
And number two, wouldn't it be something if, in addition to mentioning the reality of climate change at the State of the Union address, President Obama specifically calls out and names his support for California Congressman Pete Stark's Save Our Climate Act, H.R. 3242, I believe, and to say that this is a bill that needs to be passed and to challenge the Republicans to get over their denial and pass it. And basically, again, there's no political downside to using this as a wedge issue, because, let's face it, everybody who's a denier and everybody who thinks the Keystone XL is a swell idea, all those people are going to vote for Romney anyway. If you stress that you are going to be the guy who will be the person who leads the fight against climate change, whereas the Republicans have abandoned that fight, you get all those other voters. So it can't hurt. So that's what I would definitely like to see President Obama do, not only to say that this is the time to act, and to also specifically endorse Representative Stark's bill.
That's right. The Foundation for America's Green Tea Party, a little grassroots movement I started and trying to get some traction for, is really, if nothing else, put a green filter on before you vote. Because if we don't have a leader who understands what is at stake with our global environment and what we can do about it in this country, where we have an inordinate impact with our, you know, heavy imprint and use of resources and the equal amount of waste, 25% of the world's resources, creating 25% of the waste of everything we consume here, that alone should be a wedge issue, as you say. And, you know, talking about climate change wouldn't really help that much if we didn't have any solutions. And yet, you and I agree that the Citizens Climate Lobby has really come up with, you know, a way that we could quite simply really turn the tables and really make the beginning of the transition to a clean energy future with a tax on carbon and a dividend that would be given to the American people to invest in a cleaner, greener future. And that's one thing you and I completely agree on.
Absolutely. It's a solution that many economists have endorsed, that James Hansen has endorsed, and it's time for President Obama to endorse it as well.
Bill McKibben as well, since we've been talking about him. It's transpartisan. It really should cross political lines, because it is so practical. And of course, it would be fought tooth and nail by the, of course, they don't use things like tooth and nail. They use sledgehammers, the fossil fuel industry, because they would be ultimately the ones paying for extracting these fossil fuels. But that's the only way we're going to make this transition, I believe. And wouldn't it be amazing if President Obama talked about the need for that in the State of the Union address next week?
Absolutely. It would be a glorious thing to hear and to see.
And I think in the wake of this expected Keystone announcement, some of us are daring to be hopeful enough to think he just might do it. I mean, he's got the upper hand right now in the election, so he really does, I hope, feel some mandate to be bolder. And we know he's gotten it from the start. He, even though he's been too quiet and too passive on climate and green issues, in a second term, he probably would feel more empowered to believe, actually to act on his beliefs, because he's smart enough to get it.
Well, he did talk about the audacity of hope, and now it's time for some change in our energy policy.
That's right, the audacity of hope and the power and the courage, because he's got the power to act on it, and he just maybe has influenced his presidential power on the Keystone issue, and now there's so much more work to be done. And you will keep us abreast of all the stories, as you always do. Thank you for your continued good green work on the green front. You keep me informed, and I consider myself pretty up on the issues, but always, every morning in my inbox, there's at least five links to great video clips, audio clips, and articles that you somehow catch in your green net. My Republican friend, great to have you on the show.
Same here.
That does it for this edition of The Green Front. If you've caught us midway through, please catch the archives either at the Progressive Radio Network on their website, prn.fm, I think is the new one, and my website is thegreenfront.com. You've got lots of shows archived there, and before that, way back when I was doing a show on Air America, there's a link to ecotalk.net. So if you're interested in green conversations about conservation, check out both thegreenfront.com as well as ecotalk.net. I've been covering this beat for 15 years. It's getting more and more interesting and hopefully a little bit more encouraging as we start to see a shift at this start of a new year. May this be the year that things really start to turn, make that eco-U-turn we need to make on the political front. Lord knows there's plenty of scientific impetus to do that, and we're going to be reporting on all of it here on the Green Front Lines. Thanks for being with us. Have a great green week. Till next time.